Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It was a special team. Like I told you guys early in the year, that I really couldn't put my finger on what was happening. Some of the things that happened on this team didn't happen on those two Super Bowl teams that I had. Some of the bonds that we had, the way we prepared this coaching staff, this locker room, like it was things on this team that stood out that wasn't on like those last two Super Bowl teams that I had. It just didn't go our way.
There's a Buffalo Bills edge rusher, Von Miller. I heard Jeremy and Joe say it. I fully agree. I think that was probably his last game as a Buffalo Bill. Mm-hmm. He took the pay cut. It never really got off the ground due to his injury happening in his first season. And then, you know, there were some suspensions and stuff like that. And it's just there is sort of a what could have been with Miller because of how good that first half of his first season was.
Yeah, I remember just the feeling of watching him do that was just – This is it. This is as advertised. Right?
Five sacks against the Rams in week one. They looked unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He looked amazing. It was like, great, this is the play. He makes a key play against a Kansas City team in the regular season that gets him a win. Like,
yep.
It's exactly what you paid for. And then he tears his ACL on Thanksgiving. Ultimately, I think being the second straight year.
That a Bills player tore his defense. ACL on Thanksgiving.
Because Trey the year prior and then Von Miller. And it was just like, come on. But they have to do way better at that position now. I mean, that's why we're talking about a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett trade is because they need to be much better there. I will tell you, though, also, that clip makes me feel not better at all. Hearing that, like, there were things on this team that I didn't see on my two Super Bowl teams. Great, don't care. Don't care. You lost. Don't care.
Yeah.
That only twists the knife.
Right.
We'll see what happens, though. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Bills, especially because – you showed that you can win kind of with anybody and that the team will be good enough even in years of transition. You've got a first-round pick. You've got 2 seconds. You do have some cap space. You're not eating up the dead cap anymore. I don't anticipate any of those massive cuts that we saw or massive cuts and or trades that we saw last year. So, to Osiris Torrance's point, I think you're going to get a lot of the same team with a few additions here and there. But an addition like a Max Crosby or somebody like that would feel incredible and different, the whole thing. But I think it is going to be a lot of the same roster going into next year. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's get back to your phones as Cleveland is next to join us. Cleveland, how are we doing this morning?
Great, great. I'm absolutely triggered at some of the things that I heard earlier. First of all, please, please, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan hearing this, let this be the last day you entertain the firing McDermott or questioning McDermott anything. Since being that McDermott has shown up in Western New York, we have been not perennial playoff 10-win teams, AFC East winning teams, but Super Bowl contenders. And before them, we were too busy winning 6 and 7 games a year and undeveloping bad talent. So since Bean and McDermott has shown up, I've been nothing but smiles, and I would like them to stay here as long as they would like to stay here. Secondly, you know, during the game, I absolutely don't think that play to Keon Coleman when we needed 6, that was not the play call. That was not the move. I don't think you throw it up to a rookie 50-50 ball in an AFC Championship game. Whether or not we've seen him do it, I don't think we've seen him do it enough to put that moment on him in that spot. I'm absolutely floored at the lack of production that we got out of Amari Cooper, or should I say the lack of targets we've given him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's maybe he didn't get acclimated to the playbook in time. And I'm not just talking about the AFC Championship game. I'm talking about since he's been in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely floored. I thought he was going to be absolutely amazing. And lastly, I think that again, and this is going back to my point with Bean and McDermott, these guys have done nothing but develop talent, great talent. Some of our talent has overachieved because of their coaching. And I absolutely believe that our weakness in the wide receiver room is what showed. And I love the idea of getting the Max Crosby, but I love the idea of getting a stud number one receiver even better, someone who can run routes elitely, because Keon Coleman does not run routes great at all. We do not have a route runner. I just feel like it's the blame goes all the way around. But let's stop again. I am absolutely triggered when I hear people question McDermott as if this guy and Bean's marriage has been nothing but W's for us. I'm sorry we don't have the greatest coach of all time. Spagnuolo dialed up an absolutely incredible blitz. We got to just tip our hats to that. I love Bean. I love McDermott. Let them stay here. Go Bills.
Cleveland man, thanks for the call. I can get to most of that. I can understand where some of the complaints come with McDermott and Bean. Bean, I think especially, is somebody I'm getting more and more critical of as the years go by. His first round and even to a certain extent a lot of his second round picks are just not panning out. They're guys.
Mm-hmm. They're not unplayable, but they're not superstars, or they're not first or second round talents.
Yep. And busts will happen, but I think it's almost more painful when it's a first round pick that just you're like, he's good. And then you're debating a second contract or not. I can almost argue that's worse. A bust, you know what to do. In some of the situations the Bills are in, you kind of don't know what to do. I've gotten to a point, I've said it a lot today and a little bit yesterday too. I've gotten to a point, it's just, I think it's time to kind of tip your hat a little bit to Kansas City where they're at. But that's where the talent comes in. You need to get more talent than them. You can't also be beat on the talent level. And they've got a Hall of Famer in Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, elite players in guys like Trent McDuffie. Nick Bolton's an amazing linebacker for them as well. George Karlaftis, a late-round edge rusher they got, is a huge disruptor on that defensive line. Those are where some of my issues are. To the wide receivers, outside of Khalil Shakir, I think it's probably right to say they don't really have any elite route runners. I love what Shakir does. There is a limit, though, to what he does, because he does not really play much on the outside. He's not going to be a guy that's going to demand 130 targets.
In terms of going to get somebody, though, like at this point, it's basically just like T. Higgins, right?
Yeah, and I'm not doing that.
Like, who else is available that you could go out and get right now that would be a number one wide receiver? It's T. Higgins and
Amari Cooper.
right. Yeah. Like, but even then, is Amari Cooper your best option?
No. I think for me, I'm always going to be somebody not really going in free agency to add a big-time wide receiver. I like to, honestly, what they do with Curtis Samuel. 2-3-year deal here. You're going to come in. We have, an idea for you, the whole thing. I mean, again, if he doesn't get a tear in his toe, we might have something here.
Because he did turn it on a little bit towards the end of the year. I mean, you can hopefully see that next year more, because he's on a 3-year deal.
Yep. I'm always somebody, though, I'll look to the draft. I mentioned it with Jeremy and Joe on the way out. A month and a half ago, I wanted Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
He really turned it on to the point where I don't think he'll be there.
But
in their first round pick, I like Isaiah Bond, though.
But do you think they can get a number one wide receiver with a late first or even a mid to late second?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
The high ends, you're looking at guys like Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson's late first. You know, that's the high ends. Mm-hmm. But I think you can get a really, really good receiver in the late first.
Because I'm just thinking about this. It's kind of skewed because this past draft had so many names in it and so many guys that went all over the place that are going to be good NFL talents eventually. But it was a bit skewed because it was a draft that was loaded up with wide receivers. You knew that going into it. And sure, some of them might not pan out. Some of them haven't panned out so far. But I just wonder, can you get what you need in the draft?
I think so. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not the receiver class that it was last year. I think there's probably going to be maybe three guys taken in the first round, because there's a lot of talent at the edge rushers, early offensive line, the defensive tackle class. Everybody that covers the draft has been saying the same thing. This is a very deep defensive tackle class, which works out really well for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of your biggest needs.
I'm looking at some of the wide receiver free agents. You got Diggs, T. Higgins, Keenan Allen. It's kind of interesting there, I think. Not as a number one, but just as a guy. Amari Cooper, and the next one to round up the top five, Chris Godwin. So really nothing that super jumps off the page, mm-hmm. but there are some names out there that this offseason that you could theoretically entertain. But again, not really any number one wide receiver guys except for T. Higgins. But that's going to cost you. I mean, is that, not to say is that worth it, but
yeah.
It's a lot of cap.
Yep. Next up, let's go to Ed on the line. Ed, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just to transition from last caller, was that 10 or 11 absolutely? I couldn't keep track.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I can understand. I can understand the vibes. I get it.
So it just one further thought from him, what you guys were just saying, and that gets my point is, I don't think an elite wide receiver, free agent-wise, is the way to go. Because we've seen so many teams, you know, either double or put their best player on that receiver, and then, you know, you're out of luck. But my point, I think they need to build on defense. But my point is, I went back and looked. So 10 of the last 13 AFC championship games have been won by the home team. And I think that, combined with what I'll say in a minute, is sort of the road to victory for the Bills here.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have enough bites at the apple with home field advantage as the top seed, i.e., in the championship game. You got to get to the championship game, and if you're at home, I actually think they win that game if they were at home this past weekend. But the other issue here, guys, and I'll finish up, is that if you look at this year, right, with Bedford going out and Rapnop being in, last year the backs are out. The year before, Von Miller's out. Like, if I were the Bills, I would just stockpile as much defensive backs, linebacks, whatever, because that seems to be the kryptonite here when it comes to them exiting the playoffs. So thanks for taking the call, guys.
Ed, man, thanks for the, calling in. And it's tough. You only have so many roster spots, and that's the thing is you can prepare for injuries and all that. But even if you stockpile, eventually your depth's just not going to be that good. We saw it. I mean, the first two or the top two corners for the Bills, not bad. Benford, very good. Rasul Douglas, bit of a down year this year, and then you saw it. I mean, the first round talent they had at the position. We talked with Sal Capaccio about it. Not playing at an NFL level. So even if you try to stockpile, you're going to miss. I agree. I think they need to build through the defense this year. They do not have any true elite game-changing players. I think that has become a huge detriment to what they can do, and I think that's a big part of the Chiefs' success. They can close out games. Go to last year when they didn't have home field advantage. I want to get to that point too. When they didn't have home field advantage, Chris Jones was ending games. He ended like three games in a row for them to get to the Super Bowl. The Bills really don't have that guy. They thought they had it in Von Miller. His first year here, he gets injured. We mentioned it. On home field, surprise, surprise, the Chiefs bucked the trend there when they won on the road. But to the point, I do think it's important, home field. I like the idea that maybe they could have won it if it was at home. I do like that idea, but we did see the Bills lose 2 years in a row at home in the playoffs, so it's not the end-all, be-all for me. I think the big difference there is the rest. You only have to win one game to get to the championship game. Your guys are staying healthy, to your point there as well. Like, guys are getting hurt. The Bills had the one seed. It's one less game. I'm not saying that they would have, you know, stayed healthy against Baltimore.
It makes a big difference.
But I think it makes a big difference, that little bit of rest to get you in. You don't want the too much. I think you saw it a little bit with Kansas City against Houston, where there was a mixture of rust versus rest.
Yeah, but that's
but,
I mean,
it, but that, to me, it, to me, the rest I think matters more.
Those guys had also been sitting for like a month.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that was aggressive.
And I also think too, when you have that one seed, you're playing a lesser team in the first game. Like, you know, obviously
the lowest ranked team in the divisional round.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, Houston was still a good team, but you take Houston over Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
like. And especially if there's an upset in the first round too, you take that team over whoever they beat, right? Like,
yeah,
it does provide its advantages, and home field is certainly one of them. But like you said, they lost two playoff games in a row at home after you wanted them at home.
They buck so many trends, though. And that's where it's so frustrating. I know Derek Kramer brings up this a lot on Saturdays, and the few times me and him have been able to host together as well. Just they do take a lot of the fun out of football, especially when your team is good, because it's just, yeah, you're like, yeah, get him at home. We got him. Yeah, mm-hmm. You lost at home.
Yeah.
You know, get him this year. Their offense doesn't look that great. Well, they were hiding a lot of stuff, and they just pulled it all out of their hat in the playoffs, and now you're dealing with a team that looks, you know, back to what Kansas City looks like. I mean, I think they are favored against Philadelphia, and Philadelphia on paper, I'd say, is a much better roster than them. I think that might be the best roster in football. It's just, I think they're going to get them maybe once or twice here by the end. It almost feels like at a certain point, you get the one seed to just hope to maybe avoid them. Kind of do what Kansas City did this year, where, well, one of Baltimore and Buffalo is going to take each other out. We'll pick up the scraps kind of deal. We'll let them duke it out, and we'll pick up the scraps. I mean, ultimately, I don't think it became that, where just the Bills were just emotionally shot by the end of it. But that also is something to the one seed, especially in the AFC. You don't have to deal with Baltimore or Kansas City or maybe Cincinnati until at the latest the AFC Championship game. Because there's a really good chance they're not going to be the 5 or the 6 or the 7 seed. And even if they are, you're kind of sitting there going, all right, we probably should be able to get them. We should probably be able to beat them here. And I think that's where it comes into it. You get to avoid the top teams until the end. Plus, you get a little bit of rest. And you're at home. I think there's a lot to it. The 1 seed is somewhat, you know, quote-unquote overpowered now, especially because the 2 seed doesn't get the bye anymore. But it is what it is. You've been able to beat Kansas City in the regular season every year for the last 4 years, and you still haven't been able to get that 1 seed. I think that's got to be something the Bills have to, and it has been something that they're looking at a lot, but it's got to be something they get here at some point in this run. 803-0550, the number 2 call. Going to take a quick timeout here. One final segment here before we get you to Sabres Live. We'll do that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.